If you're as old as me, which is pretty old now, if you remember a show called Countdown, there was a man with a hat, and he used to introduce albums every week on the ABC. And what did he say? Do yourself a favour. If you can get this on Spotify, this album, get it. It'll bless you. Because 20 years ago, it refocused. It refocused Christmas for me. It really did. You know, you have kids. It's a special time of year. You know, the tree's important. The presents, what are we going to get? All the excitement the kids have at Christmas time. And I have to confess, you do get a bit caught up in that, in the excitement. But this album came along and it refocused. And now every Christmas when we put up the tree, this is the first CD that goes on the radio then. And why am I telling you all this? Why did I ask for this song? Because it asks a question, which I'd like to explore with you this morning. It asks a question. What was the question? Mary, did you know? And when you look at those words, I know it off by heart. When you look at those words, it's interesting, isn't it? The questions that are asked of that young girl, that young woman, that young mum. Mary, did you know? And the short answer is no. She had no idea. And that's what we're going to explore this morning. The two overriding ideas of the message last week and this week is being prepared for the miraculous last week. And this week is to be an instrument of God or to be used of God, to be prepared. That's what we're looking at. And this morning we're looking at Mary, the Virgin Mary. That little term's always attached to it because it signifies who she is. Mary's a very common name, probably because of this Mary, I think. But when you hear that term, the Virgin Mary, it's only one Mary they're referring to. That's this one here that we've read about this morning. Now, there's some new people who don't know me very well. A blessing. But I'm an ex-Roman Catholic boy, brought up in a Catholic home, former Roman Catholic, while we weren't a very religious family, if you're Italian, not only do you have the love of coffee, if you're born Italian, you're born with the love of good food. And if you're born Italian at Christmas time, you eat panettone. But if you're born Italian, you're Roman Catholic, whether you like it or not, whether you go to church or not. That's just the way it is. And it's a cultural thing too in Italy. You'd be struggling to go into an Italian home in Italy or in Australia. And I can attest to this because, you know, we had a lot of Italian friends and relatives where there wasn't a crucifix in the house. Minimum of one. And included a picture or a statuette of the Virgin Mary. At least one. At least. Everywhere you went. She was an important lady. And she got a good run in our house as well. Because we had those things. Like I said, good Roman Catholic boy, went to church regularly every Sunday. Mum made sure we went. Nobody else went, just me. Yeah, mum didn't go regularly. Dad only went with weddings and funerals. But I went, and I learned a lot. Went through all the ordinances, and, you know, it was a very interesting time. But the Virgin Mary plays a very significant role in the Roman Catholic faith. And it's very interesting because when you think about this woman, there are two extreme views. The Roman Catholics believe that she's worthy of worship and magnify her to the point where she almost comes and, yeah, really, maybe even it's a fact, second. Jesus comes second to the Virgin Mary. Probably more prominent. And the other extreme is she's completely ignored. From the Protestant church, almost ignored. This is the only time of the year you hear about Mary in a Protestant church. You really do. That's the other extreme. And it's wrong because she deserves to be looked at. We can learn a lot from Mary, a real lot, and I hope we can do that this morning. You know, the Catholic Church is guilty of the first one. They say things like they believe that Mary was immaculately conceived. The Bible tells us that she was just like you and me, ordinary person. She was born like everybody else. And then they say that she was a perpetual virgin. Now, I don't know how they get that. Because when you look at the Word of God, it says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. You have a look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, names them. The brothers, not the sisters, because women weren't that important back then. And we have a Bible that has the book of James in it. James, the brother of Jesus. And not to mention Jude. It's interesting, isn't it? And yet that's what they think. They believe that she's sinless, never sinned. Now that's wrong. We know that. She can forgive sins. Oh, that's not right either, is it? I mean, if you know your Bible as well as I do. That's why I no longer go. That's why I come here. They believe that she can mediate between you and God and her son, Jesus. And people believe, especially in Latin America, they believe that there are apparitions of Mary, you know, comes to earth in statuettes, in grottos, and all sorts of things. And this is what they believe. This is an extreme view. It's not correct. In the Protestant church, which is a breakaway of the Catholic church, they have almost neglected her completely. And I know this is true. My Protestant experience now is nearly 45 years. It's a long time. And most of that time, all of that time has been spent in a Brethren church. Now when I got saved, I was 21 years old. I went to a little assembly in East Coburg made up of Irish Christians and Scottish Christians and English Christians. Mary did not get a look in. Not at all. At all. I sat there and listened for a long time. And occasionally, at Christmas time, they may have had to read this passage that we read this morning. And you got a little mini sermonette about how she's just ordinary, nothing special, can't forgive sins, and on it went. That's how it's done. But let me tell you this morning, Mary, the Virgin Mary, she is special. She is. She was the mother of Jesus. Very special. Now I'm not here this morning to discuss the doctrinal errors or merits of these various denominations. That's not why I'm here. But I just thought I'd give you a little bit of background. Because it is interesting and it's important. You know, we're here this morning to find out why Mary is special, why she was chosen, what makes her significant and worthy of looking into and maybe doing some things that she's done from the Bible. All right? From a Bible perspective. Now, what do we learn about Mary? Very, very first up is that she was a young woman. Really young woman. Now, when they're in the statuettes, you know, she's young, but she's not that young. You know, when you look at the cultural background, She could have been as young as 12 and no older than probably 16, because that's how it was back then. Young women were engaged or espoused or prearranged marriages from as young as 12. The theologians and that, they reckon she was probably around 15 or 16. Even so, that's really young, isn't it? To be a mum, to be a wife, but that's how it was. The Bible says she was definitely a virgin, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It clearly states that she was a virgin. Had to be. We read this morning that she was chosen by God. Oh, how special is that? How special is that? The brothers and sisters, you and I are chosen by God too. Chosen by God as well. Now here's a really interesting fact that I discovered a few years back. Now, it's probably because I'm a bit slow, but she was the only person present at the Lord's birth and death. Now, when I realised that, it struck me. I have been to a funeral where a mother had to bury a teenage son. It's hard. It's devastating to watch. A blessing was that that mother never saw her son actually die. But not Mary. Foot of the cross. Watched him cry out and die. It makes her a very interesting person. But the Bible never says that Mary was anything or anyone but ordinary. An ordinary human being. No special, nothing special, no different from me and you. When we get to the book of Acts, you and I know that who is it that takes the prominent role of starting the church, establishing the church? Humanly speaking, who is it? It's not Mary. It's the apostles. The apostles. And you see the apostles there, you know, taking charge, leading and establishing the church of Jesus Christ, taking out the message of Jesus Christ to the world. It's the apostles. And it doesn't take long in the book of Acts that you never hear of Mary again, not mentioned in the book of Acts. The mother of Jesus. Not that prominent in the establishment of the church of Jesus Christ. But there are four things this morning I want to share with you. Four things that make this woman, Mary, special. Here they are. You see, God's best servants are very often ordinary folk. I'm talking really ordinary. Just human beings. All sorts of people. Fishermen, tax collectors, carpenters. Anybody. What did Mary say in verse 38? She says, I'm really special I am the servant. And that word servant means I am the slave of the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. And then she said, may it be to me as you said. It's romantic to think that you're going to be the mother of the son. This was a hard ask. 15, 16-year-old female was going to be pregnant in a culture that stoned women to death under those circumstances. May it be to me as you said. The second thing is, I love her availability. Her availability to the Lord. You know, she didn't say, oh, I'm young, I'm only young, you know, I'm engaged to be married. I can't do this for you. I'm engaged to be married. No. She didn't say, I have my whole life ahead of me. She didn't say, it's too hard. This is too hard. It's too hard to ask. Couldn't possibly do it. No. I am the Lord's servant. The third thing is that she believed God. I love this because last week Josh shared with us how Zechariah, the priest, offering sacrifices. His career was being a priest in the priesthood. What did the angel say to him? Because you didn't believe, you're silent until your son's born. But not this young girl. No. She asked, how will this be? But that wasn't a question of unbelief. I can say that because when you look at the context, the angel explained to her, well, you know, you will get pregnant. And she's like, well, you know, how can that happen? Because I sort of know how that works. The Holy Spirit will conceive in you. She believed God because nothing is impossible with God. You know, the virgin birth is a hard thing to explain. It really is. It's a miracle. But this young woman believed God and accepted the plan that God had for her. And I love her humility. Her humility. You know, I know because of the way I've looked at Mary's life over the years and that, I know that she would be absolutely aghast at the elated position that she's been given. Given above her son, her saviour, as we sung about, her Lord. And that's what the Lord became to his family. Not while he was living with them, but afterwards. The brothers accepted him as the Saviour, as the Messiah, as their Lord. You look at James. That's what he says. Her humility. You know, whenever Simeon, you know, said to her, you're this little baby that you're holding, the promise of God. Imagine a young mum hearing that. I mean, you know, we had our Kirchy Christmas yesterday. It's my side of the family came around to the house, and we've had a very busy year. We've had a few babies, and there was this one little one, the latest one, right, little boy, and he has got the most fantastic eyes you've ever seen, and he looked absolutely gorgeous, yeah. And that's what we told the mum. We said, oh, you know, beautiful eye, yeah. We didn't tell her what he was going to do and what he was going to be and nothing like that. But that's not what Mary heard. And what about those three blokes that rock up a couple of years later? The wise men, you mentioned them. With gold, myrrh and frankincense. She doesn't go around telling all the ladies at the mother's club, hey, you know, guess who turned up at our house? Have a look at what that... No, you don't read any of that. I don't think she did that. And I love the account, if you read on a little bit further, of the shepherds coming to the stable and the things that, you know, she heard, and why it says that She took all that on board. How old was she again? Maybe 15, 16. And she said, and it says, she pondered them in her heart. The word ponder means to deeply think upon those things. And she never, when you look at Mary's life, the little bits, the extra that we get throughout the gospel, she never went, hey, you know, I'm Mary's mother, I'm Jesus' mother, I'm really special. No, that's not who she was. She was humble. How did she get there? How did she become this humble woman, favoured amongst God? Because we're talking about the application is to being prepared to be an instrument. God used Mary. Why? Did he pick her out just random? Yep. No, that's not how it worked. Have a look at the family she comes from, the family, the family circle. Her cousin Elizabeth was also used by God. Elizabeth's son was John the Baptist, the forerunner that would point out the Lamb of God, which is also mentioned this morning. There was a heritage there, wasn't there? Now, in the Catholic Church, they have all these weird things, explanations for all sorts of things. A lot of it's made up. I don't know who Mary's mum and dad were. I really don't. But I admire them. I admire them. The Catholic Church will give you some names and some stories. I don't know where they got them from. I really don't. I've looked into it. I have no idea how they got it. But Mary's dad, whatever his name is, was a great dad. Dads, young dads, I want you to listen to this. The only way that Mary could be highly favoured of God, the only way Mary could pen that song that Colleen read for us, is if her dad did what God asked him to do. You see, God asked all the fathers, the heads of the household, to teach them about God, to teach them the words of God as they had in the Old Testament, to make sure that the family knew who God was and what God had done for the nation, for them, and the blessings that he had given them. This is what that little song is talking about. How God had provided a deliverance and all that. It was the father's job to make sure the kids knew. That was the start of Mary's preparation. So dads, we have got an awesome, an onerous responsibility to start the preparation. Because that's what we do with our normal kids in a physical thing. We teach them to read, have good manners. You know, yesterday all I ever heard was, did you say thank you? What do you say? You know? Because we want our kids to do well in life. In spiritual things, it's just as important that we teach our children these things. The application for today. Be prepared to be God's instrument. How do we apply these things about Mary? These characteristics of Mary. Admirable. She was favoured. She was used of God. She trusted God. And no matter what happened, no matter how hard the plan that God had for her was going to be in her mind, she trusted God. What can we learn from that? What can you and I take away? Well, the first thing is for us today is that I want to ask you this question. What excuses do we present God for not serving, for not being an instrument? Do you remember how I said that Mary was chosen? Yeah. Special. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you remember how I said that you and I are chosen as well? Do you know what it says in the book of Ephesians? That we are chosen by God. To do good works, Graham. That he has prepared for us already. You know, like when he thought of Raph, he said, oh yeah, I'll put him in for this, this and this. You see, we're no different from Mary, mind you. What she had to do was a little bit more important than what I've had to do. And maybe what you'll have to do. But nothing's different. We're chosen. We're favoured by God. And he has prepared things for us to do. He has a plan for us, for you and me, as believers. He has a plan. What excuses do we give? Too old. I'm 67 nearly. I'm too old. Moses was 80 when he started. 80. That's 13 more years to go before I'm even starting to get useful. Yeah? Too young. 15. She was 15. So who's the youngest person out there? However young you are, there's no excuse. However old we are, no excuse. What about inexperienced? How much experience do you think Mary had? And when I look at the scriptures, and I look at the way that God used the people that he uses, very few had experience in doing the things that God asked them to do. Very few. Very few. What about, I'm a bit overqualified to help out in the kitchen or the like. It doesn't matter. They're just excuses. You have other plans. Maybe you've planned out your life, how it was going to look, you know. It's always a big thing about, you know, having a plan for the future, the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, your retirement plan. I'm Italian. That's another thing about Italians. You know, we cannot speak without our hands. Wouldn't you rather be actively engaged in God's plan for you than taking a punt on your own abilities? The second thing that we learn, we can take away, is are you preparing? Are you preparing? Are you trusting God to fulfill his promise in you? You know, that song told me that Mary didn't have the full picture, and we know she didn't. It's very, very rare. In fact, I don't think it has ever happened. God never gives the full picture. That's what faith is about. Walking without seeing. Faith. Mary didn't know how it was all going to work out, but she trusted God. God's plan, it'll work as he intends it to work. Was it easy for Mary? I don't think so. At the very, very least, to be able to have to watch her son die was probably the worst thing that you could possibly think you could have to endure. So it wasn't easy. Just because God's got a plan for you and, you know, he wants to use you, doesn't mean it's going to be smooth, easy sailing. And you won't get all the details. You know, God's given us the book of Revelation telling us how things will end. And it ends with us winning and him winning and being glorified. But it's a bit light on details, don't you think? He doesn't tell us everything. Never has. Are you willing to be led of the Holy Spirit? I love the way the Holy Spirit's led this meeting. All the little bits and pieces that have been said so far. Just, it all ties in because I wanted to bring out, you see, Mary was led by the Spirit. In Bethlehem, she was led by the Spirit to go down to Egypt. She was led by the Spirit to come back to Nazareth. Otherwise, all those prophecies would not be fulfilled. We wouldn't have the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah if she wasn't willing to be led by the Spirit. So that's important. We can learn that from Mary. And the third and last thing is, do you know the mind of God? When I look at what Mary said, and then that song, or it's called the Magnificat, and it means my soul magnifies the Lord. When I look at that, I realize that she knows the mind of God. She does. Not to its full extent. Nobody could know that. She knows the desires of God, what God would love to do and wants to do. She knows. Because her dad told her for a start. So she knows. The thing is, we know the mind of God, we really do. We've got his word revealed to us. You've heard it from the platform many a times. You've read about it yourself, probably in your private study. Is what you want to do, and are the things that you really desire, are they in keeping with the mind of God? That's important. Like I said, I love what she said. She said, she said, just find it. May it be to me as you have said. Brothers and sisters, if we can all walk out of this room today with that thought, that attitude, that desire impressed on our hearts and minds, may it be with me as you said. What a difference we would make in this world. We would glorify God. We would. We would be great representatives of Jesus Christ if we had the attitude that Mary had. Fit and suitable instruments. That's the question. Are we? Are we? Don't just happen. They need to be prepared. Are you prepared to be used of God? Thanks, George.